Good people, is Pastor Tim, True Life Christian Church. We want to inspire, enlighten, and encourage you in the place of your faith. We hope that these podcasts can be a catalyst for the greatness that's in you. Deuteronomy chapter 12, we ended, we kind of ended around verse 14 last week. I would, as I stated, I would challenge you guys to read verses 15 through 24, 25. I'm gonna pick up here at 26, and it says, but the holy things that are due from you and your vow offerings you shall take, and you shall go to the place that the Lord will choose and offer your burnt offerings, the flesh and the blood, on the altar of the Lord your God. The blood of your sacrifices shall be poured out on the altar of the Lord your God, but the flesh you may eat. Be careful to obey all these words that I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord. And so here, and you guys go back and you'll read those other verses, but ultimately those verses were talking about the, you know, that God had given them permission to consume certain meats. And then there were certain meats that he said that they should not eat. But ultimately, what was most important is what they did with the blood. And the blood was never to be consumed. The blood was always meant to be poured out. And then he challenges them to take the blood and present the blood as a sacrifice at the altar. Going down to verse 29, it says here, when the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations whom you go in to dispossess, and you dispossess them and dwell in their land, take care that you be not ensnared to follow them after they have been destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire about their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods, that I also may do the same? And this is where it becomes important for us as believers to truly recognize that, you know, the very classic saying is curiosity killed the cat. There are some things that we do not need to be more inquisitive about than God needs us to be, because what happens is we begin to introduce ourselves to things, ideas, and concepts that will usually, in some instances, take us down a rabbit hole that we may not necessarily know how to get ourselves out of. He says, when the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations whom you were to go in and dispossess, and you dispossess them well and you're in their land, there's something for us to learn about the spirit of a place that we hang out in, right? What God was trying to do was he was trying to establish his name above everything that was going on in that place. And I think that is important for us, that as God brings us into new places and you enter into new realms and you enter into new territories and God elevates you into new places, it's important for us as believers to enter into that place with this idea and this concept that God is looking to establish his name in the place where he's bringing us, and he's using us for that to happen. It's not for us to go into a place and pick up the norm and pick up the practices of that place, but it is the responsibility of the believer to enter into a place and then begin to transform that place, so that place is a reflection of God's glory, that place is a reflection of God's presence, that place is a reflection of God's word. And far too often we enter into a place that God is bringing us into, and then we try our best to familiarize ourselves with what's going on there. And this is not the time for you to become familiar with the norm of the place that you're entering, but recognize that God is bringing you into that place so that he can establish a new norm. Amen. We move into a place, we move into a territory, we move into a new position, and we begin to familiarize ourselves with the norm of what's going on there. And this is not what God desires for us as believers. God is looking for you to go into a place and that you would transform it with your presence. because you carry the presence of God with you. You are here in this place, in this realm, the greatest representation of the kingdom. So now you are going into this new zone, and God is like, yo, bring my spirit in this place. Don't go in this place trying to figure out what they did. Don't go in this place trying to figure out how they worship, because it may pique your interest, and it may unlock something that you had no business tinkering around with. And now you got to figure out, how do I undo what's been done? So it's like, yo, know that I cut off that nation. Know that you have taken over that territory, and because you are there, you destroy everything that was going on. And now you establish his presence in that place. He says, you shall not, verse 31, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. And they have even burned their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. They literally began to you talk about idol worship and idol sacrifice. And they would sacrifice things that were contrary to God's will. And they would do things. The Bible says they did everything that was abominable to God. Everything that God didn't like. That's how they worshiped their gods. Everything that didn't give God glory, that's what they did. And what we do, what we often forget, as spiritual as you are, you still need to safeguard your flesh. As spiritual as you are, you still need to safeguard your flesh. As spiritual as you are, your flesh can't handle everything. Your eyes shouldn't see everything. Your ears shouldn't hear everything. What we should be doing is conditioning ourselves to listen for his voice, to know what God is saying. That's ultimately what God is trying to get the children of Israel to recognize. It's like, yo, everything ain't for y'all. Amen. Everything ain't for y'all. Verse 32 says, everything that I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to it or take from it. And this is the space where I believe we get ourselves in the most trouble as believers, because more times than none, we are not careful enough with the things that God has said to us, and we begin to add to and we begin to take away from so that it fits what we are comfortable with in the place of our faith. Amen. I'm cool with showing up for worship. I'm cool with Bible class, but I don't like the giving part. So I'm opting out of giving. I don't have a problem giving my money, but I don't always want to show up and be around people. So I'm opting out of the sacrifice of coming together as one body. We pick and choose the parts of faith that we want. Amen. He said, I don't want you to add to it. I don't want you to take away from it. I want my word to be my word. I want you to stand on what I've given you and let that be enough. Amen. And he warns the children of Israel that this is important, because if we begin, and it really is the segue into chapter 13, if we are not careful to truly just listen to what God is saying, we won't really know how to vet things according to his word. My goodness. We won't really understand how we try the spirit of a thing by the word of God, because we've chosen what we like, we choose and we deem what's comfortable for us. And so now when it's really time for us to understand the spirit of what we're dealing with, and we're trying to vet the spirit of what we're dealing with by the word of God, we aren't really sure, because we've changed and we've altered what he said so that it fits how we feel in the moment. And that's why God is all about, yo, you really got to search your heart. That's why the word is all about, you really need to allow my word to take root in your heart, so it is what leads you. So that my word is planted in the part of your heart that keeps you walking in truth. Chapter 13 says this: If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether or not you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. And we go back to this, and I mentioned this before. Why is so important that you give your whole heart and all of your soul to God so that you are never confused when you hear something that's contrary to God's word or contrary to God's will? And it's also important that you are not, that we don't begin to idolize or put more value in the messenger versus the message. Amen. It's important for us not to place more, put more stock, have more accountability to the person that said it, as much as we're understanding what God's word says, because God's word is true. And God is never going to lead you in a place where he gives you a word and then gives you something that's contrary to God's word that would cause you to miss God. And he's saying, yo, if you understand how to avoid idol worship, if you understand how you don't pick and choose what God's word looks like in your life, if you really stand firm on what you know God to say, even when you come among a prophet who gives you a prophecy at any point in time, and even if that prophecy is true in one season, but then he says something to you that's contrary to God's word in another season, you should be strong enough in your faith. You should trust God's word enough more than you trust the messenger, that you are not led astray by something that does not sound like God. And this is why it's important, even in this 21 days of prayer and fasting, that you spend time listening to God's voice so that you understand what it sounds like in your ear. So that you know at any given moment that you can always go back and you can truly make sure that the word that you're receiving lines up with what God's word says in this good book. So that no one deceives you and gives you something that's contrary, so that you start worshiping other gods, so that you start seeking out other things, so that you don't start doing things that will cause you to miss the very presence of God in your life. He said, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether or not you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Verse 4 says, Deuteronomy 13 and 4 says, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. So ultimately what God is saying is, as I'm preparing this place for you, as he's having this conversation with the children of Israel, he wants them to recognize and place a greater level of value on relationship with him. Amen. I know that we are a generation of believers, and you know, I love church. Amen. I love church. And I was laughing with Claxton the other day, on Saturday, and we were talking about a guy, and we were laughing about how we appreciate and we can enjoy a really good church experience. But beyond me having a good experience, I don't want to miss out on God's word. I don't want to miss out on any truth. I don't want to miss his spirit. I don't want to miss any revelation because I'm caught up in the experience of just having church. And this is what God was trying to get the children of Israel to understand. I don't want you to just blindly follow anything that you hear. I want you to have enough relationship with me that you understand what I'm saying to you at any given time, in and out of any season. Amen. Amen. Relationship. So we end chapter 12 with God saying, I don't want you to pick and choose. I want you to listen to every commandment that I'm giving you. I don't want you to get yourselves lost in following after other gods and worshiping the way that they did. He said, I want you to be careful of that. He transitions out of chapter 12 into chapter 13, and he starts talking about the level of awareness you need to have about what you hear. This is not me throwing stones. Amen. This is not me throwing stones at anybody, but this is me telling you it's important for you to take note of what you are hearing. And even, even the enemy, when he starts talking, he says a lot of things that sound like Bible. Amen.
Preach first. Amen.
And we start trying to figure out, it kind of makes sense, right? He said even as he tempted Jesus in Matthew, he was like, well, and this is why it's so important for you to know God. This is why it's so important for you to spend time in his presence. This is why it's so important for you to read the word so that you truly understand, like, full context. We quote a lot of scripture. We know a lot of the scripture, like maybe surface level, but we got to go beyond the surface and make sure we understand context. And so the enemy says this to Jesus. He's like, yo, but he said that he would give his angels charge concerning you. Amen. So the enemy then tries to use the word of God, and he tries to leverage it to get you to do something that's contrary to God's will. And Jesus calls him out, and he's like, wait a minute, bro. Like, yeah, you're using scripture, but you're using it wrong. And I can't trust what you're saying because it's out of context. And this is why I'm always passionate about, like, when I listen to preaching, and I want you guys to even be like, don't let somebody give you some word that's out of context just because it sounds good. Amen. So he's trying to get them to understand the value of relationship, the importance of really understanding his word. He says to them in this space, he's like, yo, in these moments when you hear something that doesn't sound like me, you will know it's not me and you won't follow it because you've spent time building relationship. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and hold fast to him. Verse 5 says, but the prophet or the dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of slavery to make you leave the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. Verse 6 says, if your brother, the son of your mother, or your son or your daughter, or your wife, or the wife you embrace, or your friend, who is as your own soul, entices you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which neither of you nor your fathers have known, some of the gods of the people who are around you, whether near you or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other, you shall not yield to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him, nor shall you conceal him. Man, I think this part's important. Amen. I think this part's important. And I would challenge you to maybe put a pen or maybe revisit verses 6, 7, and 8. But this is where you have to ask yourselves, which relationships do I maintain in this season? Which relationships are more important than the relationship that I maintain with God? I know, and I want to simplify it because many of us are not dealing with people who are enticing us to worship other gods. But oftentimes we are dealing with people who are willing to introduce things into our lives that will cause us to miss God. Many times we are dealing with people who will give us subtle hints and small suggestions that we should partake or engage in things that could potentially cause damage to the nature of the relationship that we maintain with God. Many of us, if we be honest, we encounter relationships on a daily basis we maintain and manage relationships on a daily basis with people who are not looking to build relationship with God the same way you and I are. And so they give subtle hints and small suggestions that you should partake and engage in things that may not necessarily look like you're worshiping another god, but it is introducing something in your spirit that begins to damage your spiritual man. My goodness. Sometimes you are being introduced to things by way of relationship that will cause you to opt out of being in God's presence and opt in on doing something that feels fun in the moment. And this is the thing that God challenged me with today. Even as I was praying, he said, this is how God talked to me. He said, how dope would it be if you did something that glorified me versus something that glorified you? How dope would it be if you did something in the next 21 days that really shed more light on me versus shedding more light on you? How awesome would it be if just for a few weeks you spent time allowing something to truly be bigger than you? Amen. This was the conversation that I had with God. How dope would it be if just for a few weeks? Because what happens if we allow God to truly take over our atmosphere for 3 weeks? It allows us to establish a new pattern. Amen. If we just let God show up, if we just commit to showing up and spending time with him just over the next few weeks, it really creates a new experience for us that hopefully creates some habit, that hopefully creates some consistency, that hopefully builds a new norm in the place of what our relationship with God looks like. And I'm sorry, the word that God kept saying to me today was, do something. How dope would it be to do something that edifies me and not edifies self? That's what I want you to write down. Something that edifies me, God, versus something that edifies self. We do a lot of things that edify us. We do a lot of things that make us feel good. We do a lot of things that bring glory to us. And beyond what we do for ourselves, even the things that we allow people to entice us with. And this is what he's saying here in verse 6. Even as he's trying to establish in the previous verses how important relationship is with him and how important it is for us to know the cadence of his voice, he's saying, I want you to also be aware that in your midst are people. If you are not paying attention, they may suggest to you that it's cool to search other gods. And he was like, what I want you to know more than anything else is it's not cool. I don't want you to pity them. I don't want you to spare them. I don't want you to conceal them. But verse 9 says, but you shall kill them. And I know that in normal context, it's not really about you killing them. But you do have to have in this season this this absolute boldness about yourself that you are willing to cut off anybody who is bringing any level of contradiction to the place of your faith. Amen. In this season, it's absolutely imperative that we evaluate our relationships and ask ourselves if these relationships are helping us get closer to God or if they are hindering our ability to be all that we are designed and purposed to be in God. He said, if your brother, your son, or your mother, or the son or daughter, or the wife you embrace, or your friend, who is as your own soul, entices you secretly saying, let us go and serve other gods. And that looks different in this season. As I said to you, it's not somebody going to say, come on, let's go worship these graven images. But they may suggestively propose or position ideas or thoughts that will cause you to miss God. They will introduce things that you've not known that your father hasn't revealed to you. And verse 8 says, you shall not yield to him or listen to him nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him, nor shall you conceal him. Verse 9 says, but you shall kill him, your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. And he's saying, yo, and anybody like him, anybody like this in your life that tries to lead you in a direction that causes you to miss God, I want you to be bold enough in this season and really to be selfish enough about your purpose, to be focused enough about what you called to do, that you won't let these things get you off track. And of course, it goes on in verse 10 to say, you shall stone him because he sought to draw you away. And anything in your life that positions itself in your life to draw you away from God, you have to be willing to cut off and kill. And that's really what going into this season of fasting and praying about is all about. It's about you truly recognizing that God's appeal for me to be in his presence is more important than what the enemy positions before me that tries to entice me and tempt me and cause me to walk away from where God is. It says, because he sought to draw you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And all of Israel shall hear and fear, and never again do any such wickedness as this among you. And what you do when you cut people off, what you do when you truly let the enemy know that you aren't going to be tempted with his tactics, what you do is you let Satan and all of his little workers know the position that you maintain with God. But if you never say no, if you never put your foot down, and this is for, listen, and y'all know how this goes. People will push you. People will try their best to take advantage. People will ask you for things that they know they shouldn't ask you for. And it's not until you put your foot down. It's just like all of us who, if we were having a conversation with a child who was being bullied, it's not until we teach that child how to stand firm and put their foot down that they are able to push the enemy, their bully, back up off of them. And this is what you have to do in this season. You have to safeguard your faith. You have to protect what you believe. You have to ensure that you aren't going to allow anything to pull you out of God's presence. Because you and I both know the only thing that is sustaining in our lives is his presence. The only thing that keeps us is his presence. It's his never failing attempts to show up and be where we are. But we have to create the space for him. The day he says, I inhabit, I dwell in the place that you set for me. I inhabit the praises of my people. And we can't create the platform because we are constantly inundated with things that are attempting to draw us away from God. And we're constantly inundated with those things because we won't put our foot down. We won't be bold enough to stand up against our greatest enemies. And sometimes the greatest enemy is that thing that's going on in our mind. Sometimes we've got to just silence, and I've been saying it since last year, silence the noise of the enemy in our ear. And he's trying to drop these seeds, and he's trying to deposit these ideas and these thoughts that will cause you to walk outside of God's will. And God says, yo, I want you to be absolutely certain that as you are moving into the realm that I want you to be in, that you don't miss what I'm saying. So if somebody comes up to you and they says, yo, we not serving God today. We about to turn up. You got to be like, yo, like, nah, I can't. Nah, that's not the move. And those of you, you know, married and single, there are things that sometimes attempt to get the best of us. Even as you are as strong as you want to be, sometimes it's just the enemy of the things that are going on internally. That self-worth and self-value, that thing that prevents you from showing up and being all that God called you to be, that thing where you aren't able to see yourself through the lens that God sees you at. Yo, like all of that, you gotta be bold in this season. Yo, I see what God says about me and I look good. Amen. I'm seeing what God says about me and I look good. And this is not you being arrogant. This is you being confident in the place of your faith. I know what God said. This is the move that I'm making. I trust the word that God gave me, so I'm going to speak this word right now. I trust the song that he's put in me, so I'm going to sing this song. I trust the idea that he gave me, so I'm going to move forward. And because I'm silencing anything that sounds contrary to what I know God wants. And so my relationship isn't based off of what some man says. My relationship with God is based off of his word. What does his word say about me? What does his word say about my situation? What does his word say about my future? What does his word say about my health? What does his word say about my marriage? What does his word say about what he has in store for me? What does his word say? And the reason that Jesus was able to have victory over the enemy is because Jesus understood full body the context of God's word. Even Jesus didn't pick and choose the parts that he wanted to use. And we see that even when he prayed in the garden. He was like, yo, this is not for me to pick and choose. If I could do it any other way, that's how I would do it. But God was like, nah, we kind of need your shed blood. So what we need? We need you on the cross. He didn't even pick and choose that. Jesus didn't pick and choose that part. He was like, yo, if your will says that this is the way by which we reconcile humanity back to you, then put me on the cross. Jesus as the example always. So if Jesus didn't even pick and choose, why should we? I know all of it. You know, you're like, yo, like some of this feels a bit dated. What you saying, God? But this is where you get the revelation. God ain't telling you to go stone and kill anybody. That's not what he's saying. But in present day context, God is like, but you can't cut them off. You can no longer have relationship with people that suggestively give ideas to things that don't sound or line up with God. Amen. I'll stop there.
You preaching, sir.
Amen. Y'all quiet. I'm preaching, but y'all quiet. But I listen, as the old preachers say, but I brought my own amens with me. I'm gonna give me a little amen soundbite so that when I feel like
you
I'm
need it.
Yeah, I'm gonna just hit my little soundbite. Amen that says amen. I'm gonna let y'all hear it.
Amen.
Come on now. Give me one more.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
At the end of the day, God is simply just trying to God is trying to set you up for the greatest victory that you will ever know. And that's really the message that he was trying to echo to the children of Israel. He was like, yo, like I'm bringing you into your promise. I'm setting you up for success. I'm telling you how to listen. I'm telling you how to destroy your enemies. I'm giving you the one up. And then I care so much about you and your success that I'm even going to help you eliminate any possible pitfalls in the future. And if we're going to eliminate the pitfalls in the future, then these are the things that you need to be aware of. You need to first be aware that when you go into this place that I'm bringing you into, that you dismantle everything that does not look like me. If something exists in this space that never gave me glory, I want you to destroy it. I don't want you to figure out how you can repurpose it. I don't want you to figure out how you can use it later. He's literally like, yo, you can burn it and we can call this a burnt offering. Let's just burn it. Let's just call it a burnt offering and be done with it. And even today, as I was reading this prior to coming here, I was like, yo, like, what are the things in my life that like I could set fire to that I don't want there to be any? And I don't know about you guys, but I have a fireplace.
That's good.
Hey, man, I'm trying to tell you. And when God pushes you into the place where you recognize that there are some things in your lives that you need to set fire to, what you recognize, if any of you have ever thrown anything into a fire, what happens is you throw it into the fire, and then there is no trace, there is no remnant, there's no presence of it, there's no ability to identify it. It becomes unidentifiable after it has been burned. And that's why he was like, yo, burn this stuff down. Because you might go back and feel compelled to reconnect with it if you see traces of it. So the only way we can ensure that there's no trace of this thing in your atmosphere is let's burn it. Let's destroy it. Let's make sure that we completely destroy this thing. But the problem that many... You surely may offer.
Thank you. It's in that same context that that's what God wants us to do with our vessel, our body.
Yeah.
As we present it as a living sacrifice, if we offer it to him the right way, that's our... let him burn and refine us. There will be no remnants of this old man. I have walked into the new creature that I am based in the place where I gave it all over to God, everything that didn't look like him. And I let him purify me, God, empty me of me, and fill me up with more of you. Then what kind of, right? An offering, a burnt offering. I am that burnt offering unto the Lord. Refine me, oh God. Woo,
yeah.
That's so good, sir.
Yeah, that's the word. Mike, the thing that God is like once for us behind anything else is like, yo, like I'm really just trying to give you, I'm just trying to set you up for success. Like if you would burn this thing, and the reason that many of us end up back in the same things is because we leave traces of it. And the reason that we end up back in those broken relationships is you still smell his fragrance on that hoodie that you need to get back. Amen. You still got pictures of that relationship. It still reminds you. And this is the reality. Like you can't move forward because you won't let go. And then you try to move forward, but you allow something from what was to attach to what God is trying to establish. And that's why he was like, yo, I don't want you to walk into your new place and miss it. Like I said to you a few weeks ago, there's a possibility that you can end up in the new place that God is trying to bring you into, and then you can completely miss everything that God has. He was like, yo, all the blessings, the water that's supposed to flow, the rivers that, he said, I'll dry it up and I'll close it up if you end up in here doing the old stuff in this new place. Trying to set you up for the greatest success possible, the greatest victory that you will ever know in the place of your faith. I promise you, if you will literally say, yo, like, I'm burning this thing. I'm like this, I'm burning this. This, I can't handle. And you know the things that you shouldn't allow to, like, go back and trace. Like, we've watched, like, I watched enough Law and Order. I don't watch enough shows to know, yo, burn it. Destroy it. How we get rid of it? Burn it. What we do with the getaway car? We lit it on fire. We burn it. There's none of my DNA is on it. They can't get to it. We burn the car. All the evidence. Take the clothes off. Throw it in the incinerator. I've seen it 1,000 times. Burn it. That's why God is like, yo, burn this stuff. And then watch how I show up for you. Watch what I do for you out of your obedience to hear my voice in this space. Hear God's voice. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. We pray that the message encourages your faith, empowers you for your journey, and brings you closer to the knowledge of who God is. Listen, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, True Life Christian Church, or wearetruelife.org.